Can we, first of all, read a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Starting at verse 36. Let the whole house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him, this Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And having heard it, they were pricked in heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, What shall we do, brethren? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God may call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Those then who had accepted his word were baptized, and there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. And next I want to read in Timothy, 2nd Epistle to Timothy, and chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. For which cause also I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. And finally, in Colossians, the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1. If therefore ye have been raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above, where the Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Have your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid with the Christ in God. When the Christ is manifested, who is our life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. Grace came into the wardrobe the other day and saw a sight that I'm sure she was very surprised at. I had three big bin bags full of clothes that I was sent to the charity shop. Something that was most unusual for me to do. I was taking out shirts and t-shirts and jeans. Some of them must have been there for 30 years. And I just finally got to the point where I realised that there was no point in me having them there because they must have shrunk in the wash or something because I couldn't get them on me anymore. And, well, either that or I'd put on a wee bit of weight over the last 30 years. I'm not sure. But it was time for them to go anyhow. And I decided that we'll get them, we'll send them down to the charity shop and make a bit of space in the wardrobe. But having found space in the wardrobe, I then realised that I actually didn't have very many clothes to wear and I would need to do something about that. So I nipped down to the shop and I gathered myself up a few t-shirts and a few bits and pieces to wear. And it wasn't till I got home, really, and I had a look at one of the t-shirts and I saw what was written in one of them and it said, across the front of it, a future of certainty. And I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that whenever I was thinking about the preaching tonight. A future of certainty. You know, there's not really much in this world when we look at the future of this world that we can actually say there's much certainty in. One thing's for certain, that if the Lord tarries and we're left here, we will die. That's one thing that's for certain. We won't live forever. But there's not really an awful lot else that we can say that's for certain in this world. We don't know if or when our next breath will be our last breath. And I always think that's a very sobering thought. Whenever we have the responsibility to stand behind a desk to present the Lord Jesus as a saviour for sinners, the shortness of the time that we might have left in this world, none of us know when our last day will be in this scene. And it brings a real sense of urgency to the gospel. But you know, for the believer in the Lord Jesus, for those who have a personal link with the blessed Saviour, the Son of God. It is a future of certainty. We have a future of certainty. That's the wonderful thing about the glad tidings, dear friends, that it's a very positive note that we have to present. It's a very positive message. Yes, there's the warning in the gospel. Yes, there's that has to be put forward. That if we pass through this scene in indifference or in opposition or whatever our state may be, if we go through this scene and we haven't come to the Lord Jesus and accepted his invitation, if we haven't come to the Lord Jesus, the one who came to this into this world for your sake, that you might be saved, we don't accept him, then there is a very, very sobering future for the unbeliever. For when your day is done in this scene, whether it be within the next hour, or whether you have still got 40 years to live, when that time comes that you leave this scene, if you haven't made peace with God, it will be an eternity in hell. And the awfulness of what that is, dear friends, there is no mincing of the words of it. The awfulness of a lost eternity, I feel, must be mentioned in the gospel. Because it is much too severe to pass over lightly. It's a popular gospel out there, dear friends. It's a popular message that is proclaimed from the pulpits. That everybody's going to be all right. Join up to this church or join up to that religion or whatever it might be. But dear friends, unless you have a personal link with the Lord Jesus, unless you have put your trust in the blessed Son of God who came into this world to die, who came into this scene as a man to go through this world in perfection and to die on Calvary's cross, unless you have a personal link with that one, you will have a lost eternity. You will go into that state of no return. But, dear friends, the gospel, the glad tidings, is good news. Because while you're still in this room or listening to this message, the wonderful message that we have for you is that there is still hope. There is still a way that you can be released from that burden of sin, which I trust that if you are an unbeliever, if you are still in your sins, if you haven't yet accepted the Lord Jesus, that you are conscious of the fact that you are a sinner. That you are conscious of the fact that you, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as being in that state, you have nothing to offer. You are a hopeless sinner. But, dear friends, the gospel message is proclaimed tonight that you might have release from that bondage, release from that burden, and that you might know what it is to have everlasting life. Know what it is to be brought into that relationship with the Lord Jesus, who went the way of the cross. The one that we read of here. Peter stood up here at the very start of his ministry. The Lord Jesus had died. The Lord Jesus had risen. And the Lord Jesus had ascended. And Peter was speaking to this crowd. It was mostly Jews at this point that he was speaking to. And he could say to them, repent and be baptized. It was a very early stages of the gospel. Their Messiah had been rejected. Their Messiah had come into this scene, and as had been prophesied, came to his own received him not. But God had a much greater thought for his Son. He had the thought, he had the plan that all men might be saved, that we might all be brought under into a relationship with his Son. And the way to salvation, dear friends, is to repent. Appreciate that you're a sinner. Accept that in you, in your flesh, good does not dwell, that there is nothing that you can offer to God. And that you are a hopeless and lost sinner. And having come to that state where you are there, come before the Lord in repentance, accepting that there's nothing you can do, but that he has done everything. and believe on that blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Just think of that, dear friends. That blessed one, the blessed Saviour, is available. He was available to these 3,000 souls that were added to that great number that day. Those 3,000 souls that were saved in that preaching. That blessed Saviour is still available tonight. And he's calling you. He is calling you tonight that you might accept the Lord Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a wonderful message, dear friends, that there is a future of certainty for the believer. That there is that you can be brought into, dear friends, that will give you that peace, that will give you that assurance in trusting in the Lord Jesus and accepting him as your own personal Saviour, and that you will be given the Holy Spirit to help you through this wilderness scene. Because that's what we're living through at this time. We're living in a world that has got no time for Jesus, generally speaking. Thankfully, there are those many who have accepted the Saviour. There's many of those, many, many people in this world who love the Lord and are waiting for his return. But there are many, many who are going on heedless. They're going on in indifference. They're going on just with no care as to eternity. Where I come from in Northern Ireland, there's been many years of troubles, and it has cast a lot of people to the Lord. And through the years that we went through growing up, we saw a lot. There was a great Christian influence around us in Northern Ireland. Do you know, as things have got easier and as things have got lighter and people have got very materialistic and people don't... Life is very easy for everybody. And it puts people into a state of indifference again. There's nothing like a bit of a challenge, dear friends, to cast us on the Lord. To make us remember that we are very weak vessels, very, very weak creatures. And we are so dependent on what's heavenly. What a great conversion there was in that day whenever Paul preached that gospel. Many, many men were saved. But where I read in Timothy, there was a man many years ago who was a Christian, and he was a scientist, a man by the name of Michael Faraday. And as he lay on his deathbed, he had a few colleagues that were surrounding him, and they asked him, being scientists, they asked him about what his speculation was concerning the soul and concerning death. And he says, "What I have isn't speculation." He says, "I'm resting on certainty." He says, and he quoted this verse, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him." I know whom I have believed. You know, it's a wonderful thing, dear friends, that whenever we come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, we know him. He makes himself known. And he sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. He doesn't leave us here as orphans. He doesn't leave us here to try and fight our way through this world. He comes very close to us. And he helps us in times of trial. He helps us whenever we're going through times of exercise. He's always there for us. Indeed, if we're ever in a position where we don't feel his nearness, it's not because he's not being near to us. It's because we are distancing ourselves from him. He never distances himself from us. We distance ourselves from him. And there was another man, and sorry, I'm going to people in their deathbeds here, but there was another man who was in his deathbed, and his pastor was around speaking to him, and he says, Are you scared? Are you afraid? You know, you're going to die. Are you scared? And he was down the south coast of England, near Land's End. And he says, Do you see the seven stones? Or do you know the seven stones? And the man said, yes, they're still there. Yes. And he says, the twin maidens. I've never heard of the twin maidens, but they were still there anyhow. And he talked about the wolf rock. Yes, they're still there. Right, he said. Go to Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Isaiah 54 and verse 10 reads, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith Jehovah, that hath mercy on me. You know, the things, the divine things, dear friends, are ever remain. And the relationship that we have with our blessed Saviour ever remains. The one that we know as our blessed Saviour, the one that we have believed in, he's able to keep us, he's able to protect us, he's able to carry us through whatever we go through. He has rescued us, he has pulled us from a state of despair. He has brought us into a relationship with himself. And he's brought us into a relationship with his Father. Those of us that love the Lord Jesus and know him as our Saviour, we have a relationship too with the Heavenly Father. He could say, I depart to my God and my Father and your Father, my God and your God. We've been brought into a relationship with that blessed one. What certainty there is in these things, dear friends. What a future of certainty we have. That one who has been who has existed in a past eternity, the Creator, the one who was here before the world was, the one who will be here right throughout an eternity to come. And we can have a relationship with that one. Dear friends, I commend him to thee, to you, that blessed one, the blessed Saviour. Through him, we can know the Father. What a wonderful relationship that we have been brought into. Now, I want to just touch on Colossians chapter 2, because in our pathway here, we have many trials and many difficulties and many exercises. But if we seek the things that are above where the Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and have our mind on the things that are above, not on the things in the earth, what salvation there is in that, dear friends. Now that's very testing, because we all have our responsibilities, you might call them. But just because we're busy is no excuse for not giving our lives entirely to our blessed Lord, that we might be more committed to him. What an exercise that should be for each one of us, speaker included, as we go out of this hall tonight, that we might be exercised. That we have our minds on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. The things in this earth are passing, very temporary. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Dear friends, what is eternal is what's important. For we do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. If we are committed to him, if we put our lives in the hands of our blessed God and Father, we can be sure that he will see us through the trials. He'll help us through the difficulties of the way. It won't necessarily be easy times for us. We will get our exercises, and indeed our exercises draw us closer to him. But he will carry us through it. If God be for us, who against us? He who, yea, has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also with him grant us all things? Yes, there's wonderful hope for the believer. There's wonderful resources for the believer. And having our trust and our faith in that blessed one brings us great peace in our hearts. I commit these few thoughts to us tonight, dear friends. May the Lord bless them, and bless the word for each one of us, and that we might go forth from this hall tonight rejoicing and praising the Lord and giving him what he's due as we're left here in this scene until he comes. May it be soon. I long for the day when we'll see our Lord. I long for the day whenever we'll be caught up to be with him, when all the troubles of this world are over. Oh, it's a wonderful prospect that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus, as followers of Christ. At any moment, we'll hear that call in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up to be with him, to live with him, to dwell with him eternally. It's a wonderful hope we have. May the Lord bless these words for his name's sake.
Amen.
Amen.